Wednesday, March 18th. The lesson from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 23 through 28. Thus says the Lord God, I will prove the holiness of my great name, profaned among the nations, in whose midst you have profaned it. Thus the nations shall know that I am the Lord, when in their sight I prove my holiness through you. For I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts, and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit within you, and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. You shall live in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God, says the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. He alludes to the purification of the Jews, which prefigured baptism and penance, in which the blood of Christ is applied to our souls. This, of course, was only fulfilled in his church. The Jews at their return from captivity fell not so often into the sins of idolatry, of which the prophets complained, but yet they were far from answering this character. Great irregularities prevailed under Nehemiah, and in the days of the Maccabees, the priests publicly worshipped idols. Christ enables his servants to act with purity unto the end by the influence of his all-powerful grace. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes. Hence the efficacy of grace appears, and hereby some keep the commandments. So says St. Augustine. God assists our free will with his grace. The second lesson from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Thus says the Lord God, Wash yourselves clean, put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil, learn to do good. Make justice your aim, redress the wronged, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land, says the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. Wash yourselves clean. He seems to allude to baptism. So says Eusebius. The Gospel from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 38. At that time, Jesus passing by saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God were to be made manifest in him. I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spittle and spread the clay over his eyes and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloe, which is interpreted sent. So he went away and washed, and returned seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they who were wont to see him before as a beggar, began saying, Is not this he who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. But others said, By no means, he only resembles him. Yet the man declared, I am he. They therefore said to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered, The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloe and wash. And I went and washed, and I see. And they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They took him who had been blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath on which Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. But he said to them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner work these signs? And there was a division among them. Again therefore they said to the blind man, What do you say of him who opened your eyes? But he said, He is a prophet. The Jews therefore did not believe of him that he had been blind and had got his sight, until they called the parents of the one who had gained his sight and questioned them, saying, Is this your son, of whom you say that he was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we ourselves do not know. Ask him, he is of age, let him speak for himself. These things his parents said because they feared the Jews, for already the Jews had agreed that if anyone were to confess him to be the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. This is why his parents said, he is of age, question him. They therefore called a second time the man who had been blind, and said to him, Give glory to God. We ourselves know that this man is a sinner. He therefore said, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They therefore said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you have heard. Why would you hear again? Would you also become his disciples? They heaped abuse on him, therefore, and said, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. In answer, the man said to them, Why, herein is the marvel, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, him he hears. Not from the beginning of the world has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they turned him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and he it is who speaks with you. And he said, I believe, Lord. And falling down, he worshipped him. Haydock Commentary. When Christ had healed the paralytic, he dismissed him with the injunction, Behold, thou art made whole, now sin no more. From this the disciples concluded that his infirmity was sent to him in punishment of former sins. When therefore they see the man afflicted with blindness, they inquired of their divine master whether it was on account of his or his parents' sin. So says St. John Chrysostom. When Christ says that neither he nor his parents had sinned, we must not understand that he was born without original sin, nor even that he had not committed other sins, for both he and his parents had sinned. But the meaning is that this blindness was not a penal blindness inflicted in punishment of any sin either himself or his parents had committed. But, as is afterwards subjoined, it was sent him for the manifestation of the glory of God. So says St. Augustine. We must work while it is day, that is, during all the time of this mortal life. The night comes, that is, death. He speaks of that night of which mention is made in Matthew 22, cast him into the exterior darkness. This is a night in which none can work, but only receive the reward of their labors. If you wish to work, work now whilst you live, for beyond the grave there is neither faith, nor labor, nor repentance. So says St. John Chrysostom. Thus the day of which I am to avail myself is the time of my mortal life, and the night which is to follow this is that of my death. With clay and spittle he cured the blind man to make the miracle more visible. From the example of Jesus Christ, religious ceremonies are introduced in the administration of the sacraments. And can the Church be blamed for copying her divine founder? The fountain of Siloam was at the foot of the walls of Jerusalem to the east, where its waters were collected in a reservoir for the benefit of the city. It is there our Savior sent the blind man. The word Siloam signifies sent and was a figure of Christ who was sent by his eternal Father into the world to enlighten all men, of whom this blind man was the emblem. The pool of Siloam represents the sacrament of baptism, by which we are sanctified and made Christians. It is still to this day held in great veneration by the Turks, who think its waters very beneficial in diseases of the eyes. Its waters signify those of divine grace and light, communicated to the faithful soul through Jesus Christ, who was the sent of God. And falling down, he worshipped him. Before, he regarded him as a holy man, as a prophet, but he did not adore him until he understood him to be the Son of God. Whereas no sooner did he know this than, falling down, he paid him that sovereign worship which is due to God alone. The Pharisees say, It could not be this man who cured thee, for we know he is a sinner who seduces the people. So say our separated brethren, when they derogate from miracles done by saints, pharisaically pretending the glory of God, as if it were not God's glory when his servants act by his power and virtue. Witness Peter's shadow in Acts chapter 5, and Paul's handkerchiefs that cured diseases and expelled wicked spirits in Acts 19. Though we read of many miracles done by Moses and the prophets, this, says the man, is the first example of any man receiving his sight who had been born blind. Christ tells them what will be the consequences of his coming, and their refusing to believe in him, that they shall be justly punished with the greatest severity for their willful blindness. Jesus Christ came into the world that the pagans who were yet in darkness might receive light, and that the Jews who enjoyed the light might fall into darkness. The Jews were thus condemned on account of their presumption and hardness of heart, and grace was granted to the Gentiles to enter into the true church. These are the designs of the Almighty upon mankind, some of whom remain in infidelity, whilst others receive the light of faith. But all is done by the secret and impenetrable decrees of the justice and wisdom of God. The Holy Ghost by these words tells us only what was to be the event, not what was the cause of these things. We must seek for the cause of them in the malice of the heart of man and in the depth of the judgments of God. Christ did not come so that anyone should be made blind, but that the Jews, by the abuse of his coming and by their not receiving him, brought upon themselves this judgment of blindness. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind by ignorance, in not having heard of me and my doctrine, you might be excused for not believing. But now saying, 'We see,' and having been yourselves in the occasions and opportunities of seeing, your sin remains, and you in your sins. If you were invincibly ignorant and had neither read the scriptures nor seen my miracles, you would not be guilty of the sin of infidelity. But now, as you boast of your knowledge of the scriptures, you are inexcusable. If you had humility enough to acknowledge your blindness and ignorance and seriously to seek for a remedy, you would soon be delivered from sin and freed from the evil of blindness. But filled as you are with presumption, you remain still in blindness, which, as it is voluntary, is at the same time criminal and inexcusable. This is your evil, this is your sin."